The Buddha's accounts of his quest for awakening are among the earliest autobiographical accounts in the world. And it's an odd fact. After all, the Buddha taught not self. So why is he talking so much about what he did, talking about himself? Well, I think it's because he wanted to teach us some lessons. And one of the big lessons was how he came to become awakened, dependent on his ability to recognize a mistake and then learn from it. He took several wrong paths. And when he realized that the paths were not going where he wanted to go, i.e. to the deathless, then no matter how much he'd invested in them, he was willing to put them aside, try something new. That's when he became awakened. And he recommends that we learn from our mistakes as well. The fact that he made mistakes and he was willing to admit them sets a good example. The fact that he wasn't defeated by his mistakes also sets a good example. I have to keep both sides in mind. Remember his instructions to Rahula. Before you do something, try to make sure you act only on skillful intentions. While you're doing it, check to see what results you're actually getting. Don't start getting into denial if you find that you're harming somebody, either yourself or others. And the same when the action is done. Look at the results, and if you actually caused harm, if it was a physical or verbal act, go talk it over with someone else. Don't be ashamed. Don't try to hide your mistakes. If it's a mental action, have an inner sense of shame, but the kind of shame that holds you to a high standard, and is the kind of shame that goes together with a sense of pride and competence. I should have done better. I can do better. I slipped, but now I'm going to pick myself up. Because it's important to see that recognizing a mistake and correcting for it is an honorable act. The mistake itself is something that's worthy of saying, yes, I should be ashamed of that, but it's a healthy shame, the opposite of shamelessness, not the opposite of pride. And finding that right balance is a skill. Because on the one hand, when you made a mistake, you told a lie. You killed an animal. You broke the precepts one way or another. Or you made a mistake outside of the realm of the precepts, but it was obviously a mistake. On the one hand, you want to remember clearly what you did so you don't do it again. So there has to be a little bit of a sting in the comments you make to yourself. But not so much of a sting that you defeat your willingness to correct and your self-esteem. You just tell yourself, I'm a horrible person. That blocks the path to correcting the mistake. So on the one hand, you want to make sure you don't fall into the trap of having an ego that cannot admit mistakes. Sociologists have found five main ways that we try to deny that we've made mistakes. And they all have to do with a sense of ego. That your ego is so sensitive that it just cannot admit a mistake. And so you have to overcome these ego resistances. And sometimes it does require a sharp rebuke on your part. You're rebuking yourself. It does require a strong inner critic. They include denying responsibility. In other words, you say, I didn't do it, or I wasn't aware of what I was doing, even though you were. This is where people who believe in determinism fall. They say, well, I couldn't have done anything else because everything was determined. We have to recognize that people who believe in determinism like this have a strong emotional connection. It's a psychological disease. It's an ego disease. The unwillingness to accept responsibility. As the Buddha said, if everything were predetermined, there would be no path. There would be no idea of what should and shouldn't be done. Some people like that idea, actually. But for the Buddha, that idea of what should and should not be done requires the idea that, yes, you have choices. You can make a difference. And his teachings are all about what you should and shouldn't do. is categorical teaching. Skillful actions should be developed, skillful qualities. Unskillful ones should be abandoned. That's the first hurdle we tend to put up, denying responsibility. Secondly is denying that any harm was done. You see this often when people say, I just told a little white lie. Well, remember, when you tell white lies, you're the one who's harmed. You're harming yourself. You're getting careless in your actions. And when you're careless in your actions, you start getting careless in your meditation. Little defilements slip right through. Bigger defilements slip right through. So even though other people may not be harmed by your breaking the precept, you're harmed. Keep that in mind. The same holds true for that third way in which we tend to deny responsibility, which is to deny the value of the victim. You see this in international politics where they say the people in this country, the people in this group are subhuman. They don't deserve to be well-treated. Everybody deserves to be well-treated. This is why we have the practice of goodwill for all, compassion for all, remembering that we ourselves have been lower forms of life in the past. What kind of treatment would we have wanted? Kind treatment, fair treatment. And again, we're the ones who are harmed by our misbehavior. We have to keep that point in mind. The fourth way is to attack the accuser. This is when we try to get rid of our inner critic, saying the inner critic is unfair, the inner critic is too harsh. The inner critic may be too harsh, but you can't just get rid of your inner critic. How are you going to learn if there's no inner critic? This is what it said. Someone who points out your faults is pointing out a treasure, an area where you can correct for your mistakes, an area where you know you can learn. So you should appreciate the fact that, yes, you are able to criticize your behavior. It's a sign that you're a better person than the person who actually did the action. And finally, the fifth excuse people give is that they're acting for a higher purpose. Unfortunately, in Buddhism, there are no higher purposes. I once heard someone say, well, we have to defend the religion. Anyone attacks the religion, we should kill them. Well, no. As the Buddha said, there's only one thing to kill, and that's your anger. The Buddha doesn't allow for any principles that would override the precepts. So keep these points in mind when the tender ego in you doesn't want to admit a mistake. And when you can retrain that ego to say, I'm the sort of person who takes pride in the fact that I am willing to admit my mistakes and willing to learn from them, then the inner critic doesn't have to be quite so harsh. The reason we're harsh with ourselves is because we put up so many resistances. Then when we're harsh, then that turns around and causes a problem on the other side, is our sense that we're able to correct from a mistake. Here again, the Buddha says, if we couldn't correct for our mistakes, he wouldn't have taught. So it's something human beings can do. You're a human being. It may take effort, but it's effort well spent. What else are you going to spend your efforts on? This is your character you're developing here. So you should have some confidence. Yes, I can do this. And it's an honorable thing. Remember that verse from the Dhammapada. One who is heedless and now is heedful, brightens the world like the moon when released from a cloud. It's that verse that Ajahn Chah likes to repeat when we have the forgiveness ceremony. There's something honorable in recognizing a mistake and correcting for it. And something people can do. So on the one hand, remind yourself that it is serious when you make mistakes, especially when it's mistakes regarding with the precepts. Because that carelessness then infects your meditation, infects the training of the mind as a whole. So make sure that you take note of the fact that, yes, you did make a mistake, but don't do it in such a way that it defeats your willingness, it defeats your morale. no matter how many mistakes you make, you can still undo them, learn new skills. Think of all the people we hear about who, like Devadatta or the Kinshasa Sutu, who are doomed for hell because they've made some very serious mistakes. But then it's forecast that eventually they will become private Buddhists. Moggallana, the commentary tells us, used to be a Mara. Then he became the Buddha's left-hand disciple. So remember this. Buddhism was founded by somebody who admitted his mistakes. He knows what it's like to be imperfect, but also knew how to learn from mistakes. He's showing us that we can do that too. We've all got lots and lots of mistakes in our past. All the great arahants had mistakes in their past. They were able to learn from their mistakes, though. And we can join them as well when we learn how to learn from our mistakes, too.